Welcome to the 9:40 service. Glad you're here. I know more people are coming. But you take your bulletin. Let me just sort of draw your attention to a couple of things. At the front of the bulletin, at the Disciples Path down at the bottom, we're encouraging you to walk the Disciples Path with us. This is great material by my friend Jim Harnish. And it'll be on Wednesday nights, starting this Wednesday. Begins with a free spaghetti dinner this Wednesday night. If you can't make Wednesday nights, you can follow along with my daily scripture email. Or on the inside, you'll see about adult ministries. You'll see that the following adult Sunday school classes are using this on Sunday mornings as their study. The parents of youth, companions in Christ, and coffee talk. So you have many options for engaging a disciple's path. I hope you'll use one of them. Also, the Madison Youth Ranch couple work days are later this week. You'll see that in the inside cover of your bulletin up on the top left. And we're hosting Interfaith Hospitality Network Families April 21 through 28. And if you can help, if you could stay one evening, kind of be a host. It's mainly just being here, sleeping here. It's fairly uneventful. Contact Marilyn Clugston. And then there are other announcements that I hope you'll look through. But and we're going to have the mission moment a little later in the service. Would you join with me now in our Trinity liturgy? Welcome home. Why are we here? Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we gather in your name, grateful that we can praise you, grateful that we can be drawn out of ourselves into this larger, awesome experience of worshiping God. We thank you for each Sunday where you kind of retune our focus, bring us out of the busyness of life into this place where we connect with you and our resources, our divine resources. So have your will and your way among us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand together as we sing our opening hymns, How Great is Our God, and All Creatures of Our God. God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our
affirmation of faith as found in the United Church of Canada Creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Glory be to the world without end. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. And we have the joy of the sacrament of baptism at this time, and Elizabeth Jones will lead us in this.
We're thrilled to invite the Beck family forward for the baptisms of their sons, John and Nolan, and as well as the Cruz family for the baptism of Wyatt. Their friends and relatives may come forward as well.
Yeah, if the families, immediate families, will come on up in here. Great. Oh, this is exciting. Nice to have this time. Are you going to say any more, Elizabeth? Or? Oh, good. Well, nice to have you all, and what an exciting time for the church family to celebrate one of our two sacraments in the United Methodist Church, most Protestant churches, Holy Communion, which we'll also celebrate later today, and the sacrament of sacrament of baptism. And you may have seen me pour some water from the Holy Land in the water here, so that's kind of special for us today, too. Let me pray over the water. God, we give you thanks for the water, for the gift of life, for Jesus' own baptism in the Jordan River, and for these children now who come and will experience grace upon grace, the infinite love of God, more than they can even possibly know, but that this is so real and so strong, and we ask your blessings upon the water, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask the parents, do you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you? Do you promise, as God gives you grace, to lead lives that are pleasing to God and good example for your children? Will you? And will you rear your children under the ministry and guidance of the church so they can come into this wonderful personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Will you? Okay, good. Let me baptize Wyatt first. Let's bring up Wyatt's picture, would you? Oh. Hi, Wyatt.
This is Uncle Nicholas Knight. And Nicholas is holding the bowl.
Nicholas Knight is holding the bowl. This is Wyatt, Braden, Cruz. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May God's blessings be upon you now and forever. Let me introduce you. Dear friends, this is Wyatt, Braden, Cruz. This little boy is Riot Braden Cruz. Nice to see you. Welcome. Awesome. Congratulations. Yeah. Oh, good. Older brother. Okay. Is Nolan older? Which one's Nolan? This is old Nolan. Nolan, I'll baptize you. What's your middle name, Nolan? Nolan Walker Beck. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May God's blessings be upon you always. God love you, Nolan. And this is John Alton Beck. John, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's blessings be upon you, John Alton, all your days. Amen. Now, would you all come up high so people can see them? And dear friends, these are Nolan Walker and John Alton Beck. Welcome to our church family. Welcome. Thank you. And congregation, we'd like to say these words to you all. We welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always. Now, before we sing our song, are we going to sing a song?
Yeah.
You see those words? We will support you with active love and Christian education. This is a great time to mention to you that we already have 100 children signed up for Vacation Bible School already. That means we're going to need a lot of volunteers, right, Elizabeth?
Yeah.
And just like this says. So if they wanted to volunteer, how would that happen, Elizabeth? Go to
the...
Come see Elizabeth or sign up on
the bulletin board outside of our office.
Sign up over there.
We don't
want to, actually, in the last couple of years, we've had to turn children away. And we don't want ever to do that. So now let's sing our song.
loves me so.
That's wonderful. Now, prayer requests will come up on your screen. We invite you to keep these persons in your prayers. Betty Fernweger, Jeremy Morabito. Now, Roger, that's one of your caregivers' husbands, isn't it, Jeremy? And he's had surgery and is doing better. He's in rehab. And Virginia Phillips, Virginia's mom, Sally, was in the last service, and they're both doing better and better. Rehab, Cheryl Hartman. Would encourage you to pray for John Thomas. Many of you know John. John and Pat, keep them in your prayers. There are lots of other celebrations of healing and blessing. So would you join me now as we pray? Almighty and loving God, we count it a great privilege to lift people before you in prayer, these and others that are on our hearts. We place them in your loving arms and pray for your healing touch upon them. We've seen and experienced miracles. We know the power of prayer. We don't understand it, but we know it's real. And so we pray earnestly for all of these persons and more. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray for Syria. We pray for troubled areas of the world. We pray for North and South Korea that calmness might come over things there. For all in harm's way, we think, particularly in Afghanistan and other places of the world, we pray that we might be a part of understanding and peace and calmness and kindness. We pray that we might live as your disciples, extending love of God and love of neighbor. We thank you for expressions of love to other human beings on this earth, like the Sustainable Cambodia, for Richard and Susan as they'll come and share about that, and for other expressions that this church is involved in. We ask your blessings upon all outreach. Now be with our time together, we pray, in the name of Christ our Lord, who taught us when we gather together to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We do welcome all of you to this service. If you're new among us, would you raise your hand if you're new and maybe are among us and are not too shy to let us know who you are? Yes. Tell us, would you, who you are and where you're from, would you? Oh, good. And what's your first name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. And you moved here from where?
Indiana.
Oh, nice to have you here. Welcome. Anybody else new or visiting this morning? There's information over at the Information Center. We invite you to come over there. All of us at Trinity are really appreciative of what this church does in helping people around the globe and in our neighborhoods. And I keep learning a lot from other people. Among those are Richard and Susan, who are going to come and talk to us about Sustainable Cambodia. My Rotary Club, which is what Richard's in, is really involved with this project, and the sustainability of it is what one of the many things that's very exciting. They're going to share with you about our mission box today. Richard and Susan, thanks.
Good morning. I'm Susan Mastin, and this is my husband, Richard Allen. We're volunteer directors with Sustainable Cambodia, and we're so delighted to be here. Thank you so much.
We started Sustainable Cambodia about 10 years ago, and our Rotary Club of Gainesville here locally and Rotary International are big partners in this. And water is at the heart of the projects. If you can imagine having your children have to carry water from an impure source like a river for half the day,
and then staying home for the rest of the day to look after their younger siblings, they miss their educations.
So we started the program based on empowerment. Rather than being just giving things away, the village families do all of the work, and the work centers around water, wells, irrigation, creating alternative income for the families, and education. The education is critical.
One of the first programs that the families decided was essential was preschool. And in preschool, the children start to learn. They become enriched with their nutrition. And by the time they hit our schools, they are ready to learn. They're exploring life. They have their vegetable garden. They become part of a community. They look through a microscope for the first time in their lives, and they believe they can go on to university and become part of the change in their country, for their families, for their lives. Our young girls go to school. It is the most fantastic experience. When I asked our teachers, what vision should we send to everyone? And they said, send them the pictures of our smiling children.
And we would like to invite you to an event on April 26th. The slide says the 20th. It's actually April 26th out at the Rembert Farms in Alachua, where we're going to have a live internet link with the children in Cambodia, and you would get a chance to actually see all the children on what will be Saturday morning there, Friday night here. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Richard. Thank you. Thank you, Richard and Susan. Yesterday, I had the joy of helping our son and daughter-in-law throw 13 pallets of sod on their backyard where they've redone it, and I can hardly walk today. All that to say, stand and greet each other and say, I wish I'd have been there with you, Dan, helping you do that. Greet the people around you, would you? Rest of that song sometime? I like that song. Hey, y'all have a seat, would you, so you can get to your pockets. Sorry. Pray with me, would you? We ask your blessings upon these gifts. God, we're grateful that you provide so graciously, and it's a joy, it's a privilege for us to contribute towards the eternal work that you're about. So bless these gifts, we would ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dispel the night with the
Himself must shine upon our souls and say, unto you a Savior comes and everything will change, everything will change. There is hope today that God Himself will take our wounded souls and say, unto you a Savior. Everything will change. Everything will change. Oh, come, divine Messiah, come. Oh, come, divine Messiah, come.
Thank you, Alice and Mike. These next few weeks, we're going to be learning about following Jesus, what it means to be a disciple. It might seem like that would be natural, but I think some guidance in that would be really helpful. Here's how it begins, this passage in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Passing along the beach of Lake Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew net fishing. Fishing was their regular work. Jesus said to them, come with me. I'll make you a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. They didn't ask questions. They dropped their nets and followed. A dozen yards or so down the beach, he saw brothers James and John, Zebedee's sons. They were in the boat, mending their fish nets. Right off, he made them the same offer. Immediately, they left their father Zebedee, the boat, and the hired hands and followed. May God add his blessing to this reading of God's word. We're going to start this course on disciples' path. This is about being a disciple. And I've been trying to think this week about what's a good definition of disciple. What would you say? Who is a disciple? Who is a disciple? And I want you to look at this glove and let that represent something. And every time I let go of it, it drops out of my hand. And what's occurred to me is, if this is my life, what the Bible says, what Jesus says as a disciple, is anyone in whom Christ lives. Anyone in whom Christ lives. And my experience is that when I have the sense of Christ in my life, it's altogether different than when I don't. And that's a pretty simple but a pretty powerful understanding of disciple. In fact, Paul says it this way in Colossians 1:27. God wanted everyone to know the most important thing anyone could know and experience, the key to everything. Here it is in a nutshell, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Last Sunday, Easter, we talked about Jesus is not dead, he's alive and wants to live inside of us, the living Christ. That's what a disciple is, somebody who makes that invitation to Jesus to come and live. Not the do's and don'ts, not all the ifs, ands, and buts. The living Christ living inside of us, his presence, his power, his friendship. So a disciple is one in whom Christ lives. But once we've invited Christ to live within us, how do we deepen that sense of discipleship? This past November, December, Jan and I, most every Christmas we give each other a Christmas gift. Probably a good thing to do. And this year, Jan had this great idea that we give each other the gift of a 6-week intensive workout at the gym, down at the Gainesville Health and Fitness with a thing called X-Force. And, you know, it's one of those things that fits in that category. It seemed like a good idea at the time. She had met somebody. She knew somebody, I think, from this church. Wait till I get my hands on you. Who really benefited from this. Just lots and lots of positive things, singing its praises. And, you know, I'm not one who really likes going to the gym. I like to walk out in nature. And at any rate, so being the wonderful husband I want to be, I said, okay, let's do that. So we got each other this six-week intensive course. And then I met the drill sergeant in charge of this thing. The X-Force, if you've seen these new machines, they're the kind of machines that when you push out, that's the easy part. And then whatever the negative stuff comes back is the hard part. And whether you're doing it this way or your legs or whatever. And so, you know, they get you there. They measure your body fat, which is embarrassing. They ask you your weight every single time when you go. But you could tell I've been at it for a while, haven't you? Can't you? And I told Lydia that I was going to talk about her today. This drill sergeant. It's been pretty good. And here's the deal, though, when they push you, each one has a personal trainer, and ours name is Franz, a wonderful young man, wonderful man. In fact, if you go to do this, ask for Franz. He's really good. But he'll push you to where you simply can't do anything more. And then he says these awful words. Just give me four more. And I say, you know, I'm a preacher, but I'm about to say something preachers ought not to say to you. Just give me four more. What are you talking about? Are you out of your mind? But it's really good. It's really helping. And it struck me about discipleship. The first thing I want to say today, everybody needs a mentor. Everybody needs a personal trainer. Everybody needs somebody who will push us, encourage us, model for us, challenge us, be there for us, encourage us. Now, most times when Franz gets me to that place where he says, just give me four more, I say, I can't do it. He said, I'm here with you. It's another part of a good mentor, isn't it? I'm here with you. I'll help you. And he actually does most of those extra four things. He pulls it. But he's there. He doesn't let me crash and burn. Who's your mentor? Who have been your mentors? Who have been those people that are models for you? And just think about the process that's going on there who sort of check in with you. Maybe they're courageous enough to challenge you, to say, how's it going? How do you measure your discipleship? How do you measure this growth? And for whom are you a model? Who have you sort of taken under your wing? Who have you encouraged? I'll tell you, for me, somebody who's been a great model for me lately is Pope Francis. And probably for many of you. I have to say, when the election was going on, I thought the news was making a much bigger deal out of it than they ought to have. I thought, what's the big deal? But the things this man has done in a few simple weeks, short weeks, the symbolic acts, the power, not wearing all the regalia, focusing on the poor, washing the feet, not of fellow cardinals, which has been the tradition, but washing the feet of teens in a detention center, not just teens, but washing the feet of women, washing the feet of young Muslim women, his overtures to people of other faith, huge symbolic power. And I'm going to do what he asked us to do, pray for him, because I think he's going to get a lot of pushback, and I think he's a great model. And he's an inspiration to many of us. This act, many of you have seen this news. My daughter sent me this on Facebook and said, read the whole story. Here's the rest of the story. This boy's name, 8 year old, I think he's 8 years old, Dominic, with cerebral palsy. An usher named Agostino got it into his head that Dominic would meet the Pope. Agostino told his mom to get their son out of her arms and hold him up. So when the Pope Mobile came by, the Pope would see him and stop. The first time the Pope Mobile went by, he didn't stop, didn't make any connection. Then the second time around the crowd of 250,000, this usher, Augustino, would not be put off. This was a divine appointment, he believed. He enlisted the help of other ushers who caught the attention of the Popemobile's driver and signaled him to stop. And then different people lifted little Dominique. See all the hands that it takes for vacation Bible school? For any kind of really good thing. Gene, you're sitting here smiling. Gene always says, we never have enough people. And that's the truth. It takes all of us. It takes, look at all those hands. That's a powerful image. And it reminds us of the similar story, almost in reverse, in Mark chapter 2, where Jesus is in the house and he's healing people and it's full and it's crowded and these four men bring their paralytic friend, an adult, and they can't get in the house. And they climb up on top of the house, take the tile off, and lower him in the presence of Jesus. Here's what the rest of that email said. Both of these people with disabilities, both Dominic and the man in Mark chapter 2, needed some compassionate people to act in order for them to receive their blessing. Jesus invites us all to come to him. But we may need to take action to help others get in the door. Whether it's a preschool program in Cambodia, whether it's kids count in Gainesville, Sunday school teaching, helping children with disabilities. That's part of being a disciple. And we need models. And we each have a responsibility to be a personal coach, a help to somebody else. And I'm praying that for you, that you will be that. I asked my Wednesday morning Bible study in the chapel, what were one or two formative experiences that were formative for your growth and discipleship? I'm asking you that now. Think about that, would you? What's one or two sort of formative experiences? What was it like? What was the elements of that? What were critically important? Here's what some of them said on Wednesday. They had a preacher who said, doubts are okay. And that gave them a sense of, okay, it's all right. I can have these doubts. The walk to Emmaus was huge for several people. Somebody who said when he was 15 years old, he heard a preacher come to his part of Kentucky. And that preacher preached on Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love mercy, walk humbly? And that's become sort of the focal DNA of this man. And if you knew this man, if you heard me call his name, you would see it immediately. Several people said models. Several people said service, mission trips, daily scripture study. One woman said, my first spouse didn't want to go to church. We didn't go much. After he died, my second spouse, he wanted to go every Sunday, and I thought, that's a lot. But we got into it. And over time, I look back and see the cumulative effect. It's been hugely possible, hugely helpful. Be a model. Now, one of my friends that I met at the workout thing, I said to these guys, I said, now, if I meet my goal, will you come to church? They looked at me and said, I don't think there's any danger of that, so yeah. No, they didn't say that. They said, yeah. And then one guy, not Franz, another fellow, said, you know, I really don't go to church. He said, I went once. And then he said what so many people say. I'm very spiritual, but I just don't need the church. This is the largest, fastest-growing group of people. And you know lots of people, don't you, who feel the same way. They call them the nuns, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S, who have no affiliation. They're the fastest-growing denomination. And some of that's the church's fault, and some of it's the nature of our culture and all those sorts of things. It's almost back like the first century, isn't it? It's a time of great opportunity. It's in our strategic plan that the church has adopted, to develop a new worship service for 35 and younger. One of the new associate ministers who's coming in July is 25 years old. I didn't know there were people 25 years old anymore. I didn't know there were ministers that young anymore, even though that's what I was when I started. And we're going to have her, start that service. I hope you'll keep that in our prayer. That's a huge bridge to build, isn't it? For people who don't feel a need for the church. In fact, I've thought about this, and the next series of slides, Jay, thank you, will be some reasons why people say, I have no need of Jesus. Or not to follow Jesus. I have no need of Jesus. There's not that feeling that I need him. And I want to just say to them, hey, here's your life. I don't want to be presumptuous. Here's your life without Jesus. But the Christ living in you can just empower you and strengthen you. Or my answer would be the next slide. That whole thing of Colossians 1:27, Christ in you. That's the secret. The living Christ. The Christ we celebrate on Easter. Or Jesus in that conversation with the woman at the well. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I will give you will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become like a spring of water welling up within to eternal life. I like popcorn. I think the beauty of popcorn is it's so salty and it makes you so thirsty. And we're supposed to be salty like popcorn so people get thirsty for the one who gives the living water. Another reason that people don't want to follow Jesus, it's too hard, too demanding. At least that's what they think, because what they hear from the church or what they hear from a few sort of people out there on the edge of the wrong part of the church, they give you a list of do's and don'ts and what you ought not to do and all that sort of stuff. And that's not helpful. It's not really what it's about. It's really the next slide. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, not some other yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Talk to anyone who's been in the church for a long time. It doesn't seem that hard. It's joy. It's this. That's what it's about. The third one is there's too many distractions. Aren't there a lot of distractions for us? I mean, there's so many things that pull at our attention. There's so many other things going on. I mean, I looked at the paper this morning or yesterday, and there's a gazillion things for you to do this weekend. There are too many distractions. I don't know if you know Myers-Briggs. My Myers-Briggs, do you know the letters Myers-Briggs? I'm an ENFP. ENFP. Anybody else an ENFP? I know some of you are. Yeah. Okay, Cindy, good. Well, somebody wrote some prayers for these Myers-Briggs things. They're kind of funny prayers. For an ENFP like me, here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, help me keep my mind on one thing. Oh, look, a bird at a time. You can tell that, can't you? So distractions, things pulling at us. But the next is viewing everything through the lens of Christ gives the focus one needs. And so coming back Sunday morning, the program we've been at the gym, they meet every couple weeks on Sunday nights just to encourage, just to kind of remind you what you're doing, not to get discouraged. That's kind of what church is about. It's something to pull our attention back to the center. And number four, it's so uncertain following somebody I can't see. And I get that. I understand why somebody who's not sure about who Jesus is, not sure about this or that, it's uncertain. But that's why we need models. And that's why people are drawn. I mean, that's why Jan was drawn to this workout we've been doing. She knew a couple of people for whom it was really successful. And it's our inviting them. It's our personifying it. And then the response to that is faith is the flip side of joyful dependence on God. The sense of trust, depending on God, letting go of control. It's scary as heck, but that's where the sense of peace and contentment and joy comes in. So that's about discipleship. I'm going to hasten on and sort of bring this to a close in a minute. Early this week, one of my brothers sent photos of back home making maple syrup. They evidently a professional photographer wanted to do this. my brother said them. I got really inspired. I felt really motivated. I moved by this. Maybe it's just because this is where I grew up, what our family's been doing for 200 years. But I saw something here that communicated to me about the church. And I'm going to just kind of go through the slides. Well, I'm going to tell you what it is, and then I'm going to go through the slides and then sort of draw the illustrations. You'll see there's a common task. You'll see children and adults working together, like the Easter egg hunt, like Vacation Bible School, like Sunday School. You'll see a filter. Well, we'll look at this. This is where, what we call the sugar shed. This is where you boil the water to make the sap. Many of you see pictures of red buckets, wooden buckets. Those are too hard to maintain, so we use these metal buckets. And I don't know about you, but every time I go up north at this time of year and see the starkness of the trees without leaves, it has its own sense of beauty and power. And so the family, like I say, for 200 years have been drilling holes, putting spiles in, hanging buckets, gathering the maple sugar water. The next picture is that's the spile, and that's the sugar water. It's really sweet. It takes 40 gallons of this to make 1 gallon of maple syrup. That's why it's so expensive. I think it's $50 or $60 a gallon. And we'll take orders at the end of the service. The next slide. And here's several slides. Notice what's going on here. The next slide. Here you have adults, children. And just a second. Were you here last Sunday after church? Did you see the... Gene, you saw this. Just the parents, the kids, they were all... It was creating a culture of what it's like. Here's what it's like to be on this farm community. Those are our nieces and nephews. Here at Trinity, it's what it's like to be a disciple of Jesus. You get to see adults living it out. The next one. You pour that in this tank as it goes through the woods. Next one. I mean, think what these kids are experiencing in. The next one. And the next one. Here you are pouring it in through this sort of a filter. Next one. Kids doing just what the parents do. That's how we learn. Next one. You take it into this building here, and underground on the right-hand side is a large sort of concrete vat-like thing where you store it, and then you could boil on certain days. You don't have to boil it all at once, and the pipe goes down the hill to the sugar shed down below. The next slide. And here's back it in. The next slide. Down by my brother's leg, you can see the pipe that goes into the... It empties out, and they mark it down. The next one. And that cloth is what they run the water through to pour out any impurities. The next one. And the two boys, they have to figure this out and check it out. You know, that's what you do. And the next slide, I love this next slide. There's my brother's grandson looking up. And you know what? It's not just them looking up at his grandfather. He's getting it, isn't he? He understands it. I mean, that's what happens. That's why what you Sunday school teachers do, just incredibly, incredibly important. You MYFers, you ASPers, all those things. Next one. That's the firewood they work on all winter or all year long. And the next, and here's where they boil it. The next, that's the fire long pans. The next one takes a long time to boil off just right. The next one, and the next one. And there's the product of maple syrup. And then this guy took two more pictures. This is my great-great-great-grandfather, Jacob Johnson, died in 1845. There's a cemetery on the farm, as on many farms. And the next picture is the... And I thought it had a sense of connection with what we do on All Saints Sunday. And what we gather here, it's not just us. It's more than just us. Did you catch the messages here? There's a common task. There's a filter. There's the burning off of the dross. There's the sweet reward. But what happens is children learning. There's a culture. When we did Vacation Bible School Vacation Bible School is on my mind. Elizabeth said, mention it at least 10 times in this service, if you would. When we did the Easter egg hunt the last 2 or 3 years, we had huge crowds. But it almost became a culture in itself that wasn't really maybe our culture. But what happened last Sunday was our culture. And if you came to that and you experienced it, you experienced something phenomenal. Families just kept talking to other families, and something about the church was being formed. We all need to. Jan and I, when we were in Jerusalem, we bought a mezuzah. Those of you who have Jewish friends, you know what a mezuzah is. It's that little thing on the doorposts. And I put it on our garage because we go in and out of that mainly. And in the mezuzah, in there is a piece of parchment or paper that has Deuteronomy 6:4 on it. 6, 4, 5, and 6, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you shall teach your children and your grandchildren, and you shall live it out, and you shall put it on the doorposts of your life, so it will become a part of the culture of who you are." So my encouragement to you today, my friends, is to be a disciple of Jesus. Find a mentor if you don't have one. Be a mentor. Let Christ live within you and develop here a culture. There's nothing more powerful to help keep our focus on what really matters than the sacrament of Holy Communion. We hold in our hands the presence of the living Christ. We take that presence in. One of my friends who's a former Catholic, every time he receives Holy Communion, when he takes the bread and the cup, he says these words, "My Lord and my God." I like that. My Lord and my God. Presence within us for forgiveness, for presence, for empowerment. And so that's what we're preparing right now to do. As the liturgy comes up on the screen, would you join with me as we read through here? I'll begin. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him. This table is open to all. You don't have to be a member of this church. Who earnestly want to listen and learn of him and seek the kingdom of heaven which he brings. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. By the baptism of his suffering and death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. I'll mention to you that there are gluten-free wafers in the back. If you'll just indicate to one of the ushers, they'll be glad to bring it to you. Ushers, would you come forward? Brian, would you come and help me as we prepare? And I'd invite you all to hold on to the elements until everybody has received, and we'll receive it together.
Seek others, see.
Body of Christ, broken for you, take and feed on him by faith.
The blood of Christ, of a new covenant, poured out for our sins.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for the gift of life itself, for the risen Christ, my Lord and my God. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Would you stand and, as you're able, take somebody's hand and receive the benediction. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.